Okay, is that me on? Yes. Okay, so we're in the middle of the series on the urban monastery vision, and we've got the slide behind us where we see that the centre of creativity is the next part of what we're looking at, and that kind of flows in and around all the other areas and out of the House of Prayer and Worship, and so it's a privilege to be building on the sermons of Ian and Alan in the last 2 weeks. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Heather Thorpe. I'm married to Ben, who's currently on placement with the Church of Scotland. He works for them. And we have two children and have been part of the church for 20 years. Over that time as a church, we've seen creativity pour out of this place in terms of worship and mission and healing and teaching. And we recognise that this is a part of our nation's special heritage from God, our Celtic heritage, which is why it connects to this idea of a monastery really well. I've also been privileged to travel to other cultures and see what God is doing there. I teach for streams, and I do a little bit of travelling with that as well. But I also want to emphasise that because of that, I know there's something uniquely special in this place, that we have something that in Whiting's Church other people are looking to and asking for creative strategies and answers. So this is looking at creativity in the widest sense. This is not a sermon to force you to get arty, and you don't need to have been to art school to get what God is wanting you to be and do. It's about recognising that you have a unique design that is yours and yours alone, and we don't all have to look like each other. Okay, I want you to explore the spiritual DNA that God has given you and to just emphasise that we're all made in the image of a creator God. That's how God introduces himself to us at the start of the Bible, as a creator, and we carry that inside us. And we're going to look at a Bible passage where there were a number of different responses to Jesus expressing his divine design, and then people responded to that revelation in a number of different ways. So let's read from Matthew 21 and verses 1 to 11. And the story appears in all four Gospels. But we're looking at this one today. It should be on the screen there for you as well. Okay. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey there, tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." So this story takes place a few days before Jesus was crucified. And it follows the healing of two blind men, and there's parables that he tells before this and after this. So there's a lot of creative stuff happening that he's doing in his ministry there. But in this passage, we see that God stirs people to a number of unusual responses involving his creation, man's creation, movement and visuals and voice. And today we're going to probe a bit deeper into these responses to see how they can encourage us today and what our worship and our devotion can look like. And to do that, we need to understand the creative ways that God speaks and how he often uses symbolism to get right to the heart of those he loves. We know that love looks like something, but we might miss it if we aren't open to the fullness of his communication or the fullness of his heart. And the context of this passage is set in the Pharisees, who just kind of did that. So a symbol is something that represents or stands for something else. In this passage, we see people giving symbolic things that show their devotion and proclamation of Jesus. I think these are key. We know that Jesus wants us to live lives of devotion and proclamation still. So what do the symbols of the donkey and the colt, the cloaks and the branches, and the shouts of Hosanna have to say to us today? There is this extraordinary atmosphere of reckless abandon where no one refuses to give items of value to welcome Jesus into Jerusalem. So the donkey and the colt are the first, and they are a fulfillment of a prophecy from Zechariah 9, which contrasts the arrival of Jesus as not being on a war horse surrounded by chariots, but they emphasise his humble and peaceful nature. And the picture we have is of an ordinary beast of burden, not glamorous, but teaching us about servant leadership. It says there is no one too ordinary to carry Christ to the people and places that he shows us. It shows us relationship. And the owners do not hesitate, simply believing that they would get these animals back, which were so important to their livelihood. And this picture continues with the cloaks. The cloaks represent covering, protection, and could be read as signs of status as well. These would have been valued items as defence against the cold and wet. And we know that not many people could have been wealthy enough to have more than one. To feel compelled to place this on the ground, which would have had all kinds of dung and rubbish on it, shows an incredible moving of revelation on the people. This Jesus is one worthy of sacrifice, of worship. The next symbol that we see in this passage is the tree branches. The Gospel of John specifies that they are palms, which we can see as a significant symbol in the whole narrative of Scripture. They are included with surprising frequency in the designs of the tabernacle and the temple, often next to cherubim, and were used along with other branches to build the shelters for the Feast of Tabernacles and for waving and rejoicing. In Revelation 7, the great multitude from every tribe and tongue are holding palm branches as they cry out, "Salvation belongs to our God." And of course, here in this passage, we also have the word Hosanna, which means save. The revelation these people have shows that they know that salvation is found in this man, Jesus. The word Hosanna also comes from the root where we get the names Hosea, Joshua, and of course, the name of Jesus itself. I thought it was really interesting today that a lot of the slides for worship had leaves or plants as their background. And there's a really strong connection, like God commands people to wave the branches as a sign of joy and rejoicing. So we see this kind of revelation just falling on the people. It must have been an extraordinary atmosphere. And the whole city was stirred. And that's what we want. We just want that, not just for our city, but for our nation to go to the ends of the earth. We want them to be stirred with the revelation of who Jesus is. And actually, we can use our creativity to release that further. Okay, symbols and visuals are part of the Hebrew alphabet. So each word is made up of a series of symbols. And we see that today our culture has not lost its fascination for symbols. We see that in our lives all around us. And eventually I might get onto a story about tattoos. I'm collecting stories about tattoos. And you know, people take symbols so seriously that they want to actually have them indelibly put on their bodies. But symbols and visuals are part of God's creativity in that they break the speed limit in releasing something to your heart. What kind of encounter is God releasing to you today? Because it's so that you can take that with you and pass it on. And you don't have to be an expert to do this. This is for everyone. I'm definitely not an expert, but I've seen what God could do with a tiny mustard seed of faith and obedience. I think this passage is asking us questions about what is it that God wants us to lay down at his feet? What are we carrying that we can give to him? What is it that God is wanting us to proclaim? And how? How is your life shouting? And I don't necessarily mean with just words, but is it in the cakes you bake or the gifts you buy? Is it in your smile or your hugs? Do you like to write encouraging cards? Do you like to campaign? And I want to recommend, we talked about this last week, doing the SHAPE course that we offer here in this church, because each of you have a unique divine design that is needed. I want to tell you some stories just to illustrate how this kind of looks and where we might go with this. Stories of the past that help us to see how we can grow into the future. We can see that God's people kept recording his creative communication to them and responding in equally creative ways all through Christian history. People wrote, created visuals, and responded in action as well as voice. Celtic Christian communities, which have inspired the kind of urban monastery vision, were leaders in their field for the writing and the arts. And I think I've got a picture of the Lindisfarne Gospels. So this is from AD 700. And it's showing the front page for the Gospel of Matthew. That's what the writing means. It means St. Matthew. And Matthew's symbol was a winged man, which again speaks to us of the angelic and heaven. And the bit I really love is the little guy peeking out from behind the curtain. And I think that speaks to us of what people watch. We might think that we are doing something creative, and maybe we're doing that for one other person, but actually people see how we live our lives, and our lives speak even when we're not aware that they're speaking. Next slide we have is just a bit further on, and it's stained glass from 1170 AD. So the Lindisfarne Gospels were 700 AD. This is 1170 AD, and this is in York Minster. It's still there. And it's a fragment of a Jesse tree that was used to teach about the genealogy of Jesus. And you can see, again, in both these pieces of art how intricate they are and how much time was taken and how much expense was taken to put them together. Further on in Christian history, we've got plays as a hugely popular form, because for people to receive the blessing from them, you didn't need to be able to read. Most people couldn't read, and other forms of storytelling also grew, including great frescoes painted on church walls and ceilings. There was stone and wood carving, clothing. All were used in churches to symbolically point to the character and communication of God. Fast forward to the recent past, and we can see God using creativity still to end all kinds of injustice, anything that isn't, you know, heaven on earth, and they release heaven on earth. Photography, film, literature and song have caused slavery to be abolished and wars to end. Architecture, gardens and the wilds of nature have all been studied and shown to release healing. Every time we open our mouths or move or dress, we're expressing something of who God created us to be. And that's not meant to be a heavy load, it's meant to be fun. Is meant to release your spirit and express what God has deposited in you through his Holy Spirit. We see that sound is important. So again, all the way through scripture, we have patterns of sound. Sound can be a declaration, sometimes a roar that takes the walls of Jericho down, or that comes forth in the gift of tongues. And we do still hear these things in our church, and we shouldn't be surprised when we hear these in church, because they are a way of shifting the atmosphere. It was very common in our early days as a church to have tongues given from the front and interpreted, and I think we'll see this rise again in the future here. I really believe that we're going to see healing and miracles released through all these things, whether it's a painting or sound or movement, and I just have some stories about how that has happened in our recent past. And I just want you to imagine and dream with God where we could go. And as we grow and experiment in this, it might look a little bit messy, but I just believe that God is a God who desires to stretch us and grow us. So I think it's going to be an exciting journey. So a few years ago, one of our congregation I was with, travelling on the way to an outreach, and decided to draw some stick men. And this was a young lady who drew a stick man with a circle round the left foot as a sign that somebody needed healing. And that night, a homeless man got healed of a foot condition in that foot. So if you can draw a stick man, you can be used in words of knowledge and healing and miracles. No one's disqualified. Healing can come through hand massage or being wrapped in a length of fabric. If you go onto Amazon, you will see a large number of books on how to knit healing prayer shawls. I went to Bethel's creativity conference in 2011 with charity, and part of what they were doing there was they were having a fashion show to release the glory of God. But if you think about all the clothing that's mentioned in the Bible, there's a huge wealth of source material there to work with. And I've got some quotes from recent books that I've read. Is that the next slide? Yeah. So this is one that Alan gave me. The Creator is still creating. He still invites those in his image to join him in imagining and forming the future. New songs and movies, new scientific theories, innovative businesses, revolutionary social policies, brilliant computer games, medical breakthroughs, and recipes for soup. One of the things that he goes on to talk about in that chapter is the miracle of multiplying and asking God to multiply your finances, multiply your food, multiply whatever it is you have to give away. There aren't any limits in him at all. The next quote is about the kind of whole therapeutic aspect of creativity. And it's from Wendy Alec in her book Visions from Heaven. And she says, I suddenly had an urgency to play and felt quite guilty about it. It's quite interesting. But she goes on to say, but I knew that as I played, it was trauma being evicted from my body. So I think that that's one of the things that we'll see as we make space for that to happen. And then the last one is from Heidi Baker and her book Birthing Miraculous. And it does make a direct correlation between having the Sabbath be something where you play. When he draws me, this is God, when God draws me into the ocean to look at the fish, I get my snorkel and dive in for hours if he calls me. And she says that, you know, to some people she's aware that that looks like she's being lazy, but actually it's essential for her intimacy. We go back to what Ian was telling us about everything has to flow from the place of intimacy. It has to flow from that revelation. And actually, the place of creativity is both giving and receiving in that nature. I want to tell you a story about a friend of mine who was a Christian in my workplace and who I knew was wanting to have a baby, but struggling. And one day she came around and I was just kind of praying for her, and I just felt like God showed me a picture of a lily with this like a bright yellow center, which is where like the seeds and stamens and like reproductive parts are. And I just felt like God wanted me to pray for her in a very gentle way. I was very careful about what I said to her. But she said at that point that she felt something happen and change. And then a couple of months went by, and then at work she started being sick. And I kind of thought, oh, I think I know what's happened. And she now has a beautiful daughter. But there was something that I made for her that came out of the creative process and came out of playing. And it's the next picture. I don't claim to be a brilliant jewellery maker. I just like to play and have fun. And one of the things that I wanted to do was I'd seen a pattern for making a seed pod, and I had some wire mesh and some pearls and rock crystal, and I just thought, right, I'm just going to have a play around and make this. But then it started to become a meditation on seeds, and the Bible's full of imagery about seeds and fruitfulness. And then I felt like I had to give it to this friend as a declaration over her that she was going to be fruitful. And so that was a kind of a proclamation over her and her life. And it didn't necessarily come in words, but it came in the form of symbols. One last story. I do a fair bit of outreach, particularly in the years where I kind of wasn't teaching as much as I am now. I work in a secondary school. But I've been privileged to go to lots of very dark places. God is a God who is desperate to reach the margins. He has so much love for all of us, but he loves to reach the outcasts. And so I've gone to places like psychic fairs and set up saying, you know, we believe that the Spirit of Jesus has a message to say to you, and we offer prophecy and dream interpretation and spiritual art and all these things. And one of the places that I went to was a very big kind of New Age arts festival in America. And we set up a tent and we just really asked God, how did he want us to decorate that? And one of the leaders felt like she had to make a series of banners that represented the book of Ezekiel. And in a festival, you can kind of get away with that kind of thing. Nobody's really going to bat an eyelid if you've got pictures of wings and eyes and things kind of all over your walls. So that's the kind of picture of the next slide here. And again, we were offering spiritual encounters with the Spirit of Jesus. So we were saying, you know, prophecy, dream interpretation, healing, whatever it was that people wanted. We knew that Jesus had it and we wanted to give it away. So people would queue and they would come into the tent for their encounter, and this guy came in, and it just kind of shows, just like Mel was sharing, just like God sets stuff up for you. He so does. He's just been out there working in people's lives, just waiting for that kind of point of connection. And this guy who is pointing up to the ceiling is called Rafi. He came and we had quite a deep session of inner healing with him. And then we noticed that he had a tattoo on his arm of a wheel within a wheel with an eye in it. And I kind of was looking at that and I was like, that looks kind of like that painting that we have up there. And he kind of looked at it and he just about fell off his seat and he said, is that from the book of Ezekiel? And we were kind of like, you know about the book of Ezekiel? And he's like, yeah. And he was at that point just like eyes really, really wide. And then he said, well, my full name's actually Raphael Angelos. And we're kind of like, oh, that's quite interesting. And we said, you're sitting underneath another banner that's got an angel wing painted on it. Did you notice that? And it was just like God was emphasizing to him that this is exactly where he was supposed to be. This is exactly who he was supposed to be. And stirring up his prophetic call. And we were able to really just share with him so much from that point about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And he invited Jesus and the Holy Spirit into his life. And I believe that was the day he got saved. And it was just crazy. Now, we might not all feel like we're called to go to wild festivals, but I know that there are those of us in here who are wild at heart in that kind of way. And I just wanted to say, there's nothing God can't do. There's nothing he can't do. Nothing's impossible for him. It just might not look like you thought it was going to look. We just want to have a series of events here that would encourage creativity to grow in all kinds of ways. And it's kind of really just about unpacking your divine design and finding out who you are and having the freedom to play. And you'll find yourself just having encounters with God that go deeper without even really realizing it, I think. So next Sunday before the service, we would like to offer prophetic art appointments. If you come from 10 past 10, you can have a short appointment where someone will give you an encouraging message in a visual form. And then during the service, we're planning to have an art table at the back where we can have like pastels and collage materials, etc. And we'd like to have another table for children if they're supervised by an adult to experiment as well, so that we can all have space and place for worshipping visually, playing. And if that goes well, then we kind of hope to repeat that on the first Sunday of each month. And we're also planning to have a workshop event on Saturday the 11th of March upstairs in the conference room, where we kind of will offer, if people feel like they would like to have training in a particular area, so we're hoping to offer training in visual art, in ministering through sound and music that's not necessarily been recorded or just but kind of more spontaneous, just a kind of spontaneous response, like soaking music to what God is doing and saying. And we're also hoping to have a workshop on creative outreach and writing. So that's on the afternoon of Saturday, the 11th of March, upstairs in the conference room here. And we'll have various other things that are going on as well. We'll put them in the notices. But just really to encourage people that whoever you are or whatever you feel like God is saying to you about any of this, we want to encourage you to kind of go for it and to see that that God is so good and there's so much more. There's always more. So I want to kind of go back to the questions that this passage asks. What is it that God is asking us to lay down at his feet? What is he asking us to proclaim, and how? If you feel like there's something that you want prayer for in this area, we're going to have the ministry team come up and do that just now. But I'd like to just kind of close by praying for us all. And yeah, I'm really excited to see what God does with us this year. I think it's going to be amazing. Would the band like to come up while I'm praying? Is that okay? Jesus, would you just give us fresh revelation of who you are? Would you give us fresh revelation of your majesty, of your servant leadership, of your worthiness, your holiness, your love and your generosity? Would you bring us fresh revelation about your creativity? Would you open our eyes to Scripture and how Scripture speaks? Father God, we just thank you that you have blessed us with an amazing wealth of people in this place who work in creative professions, who work in creative ministry. And God, I just ask that you would pour on them now fresh anointing for what it is that you've called them to do. And just whatever creativity we have, God, we just offer it to you afresh, and we just ask you to take it and use it to proclaim your glory, to proclaim your message, to proclaim who you are. Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, with your love. Cleanse away anything that's hindering us, Lord. And God, would you release your freedom and your fun in this whole area? Would you release your joy? Would you release your streams of holy laughter, God? We just dedicate ourselves to you afresh. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.